summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Last week, we featured the story of Jackie Hong and his trip of a lifetime, cycling from KL all the way to London. This week, we're going to carry forward the theme of cycling, but maybe at a much shorter distance. KL is definitely not a cycle-friendly city, but efforts are being made to assimilate and elevate the cycling culture in our capital. If you have been around Sunway City, Subang Jaya, Petaling Jaya or Damansara, you might have noticed some yellow-orange bicycles scattered in these areas. Those are bicycles from O-Bike, a stationless bike-sharing platform that is planning to solve your first and last mile commuting problem. Still in its infancy, O-Bike provides a simple method for you to rent a bicycle and get to your destination within the city. What's the story and inspiration behind this initiative? And would it work in our capital city? I spoke to Elaine Chan, the marketing manager of O-Bike Malaysia, as she tells us more.
Okay, first of all, it's not yellow. It's yellowish orange. Okay. So yeah, O-Bike is a stationless bicycle sharing service. So stationless in the sense that it's different from how our station bicycle rental is, where you have a physical station where you need to park your bikes back and lock them. And we are stationless in the sense that there's no need to attach the bike to a physical station and also a bike rack. So there's a smart lock attached to each O-Bike bicycle. So users can easily pick up a bike, start riding and stop it anywhere that they want as long as they don't block the traffic or walkway. So stationless in that sense.
All right. So before we talk more about how O-Bike functions, maybe we can talk a bit about the history of the company. I understand that it's a company based in Singapore and it has expanded here in Malaysia. Maybe you can give a bit of historical background about that.
Yeah, we started in Singapore. That's where our HQ is. So we started in Singapore in January this year. So it's only 6 months old there. Back then, last year, Singapore government actually had a national scheme for bicycle project in Singapore itself. And then there was a tender. So O-Bike went in as a stationless bicycle sharing service to propose the service. And after a few months, March this year, the Singapore government actually dropped that scheme for themselves and let all the private companies, including O-Bike itself, to run this whole bicycle sharing in the island itself.
Okay. Yeah. So what's the reception like there?
Reception was very good, I would say. We started in January and it's only like 6 months. Within 3 months, we already the top downloaded bicycle sharing app, whether iOS and also in Google Play, top one. And also we've already accumulated thousands of sign-up users there.
All right, so let's talk about the main event, the thing I'm most curious about. So can you maybe walk us through the process of actually using the O-Bike?
Okay, first of all, you have to download O-Bike app. Currently, we're supporting iOS and Android. So after you download it, you just do a simple sign up with your mobile number, a Malaysian registered mobile number, and then just put a refundable deposit. The deposit is fully refundable, and then do a top-up for the ride charges. Ride charges is 1 ringgit for every 15 minutes. So after that, you're good to go. Just as long as you see an O-Bike, or you just turn on your app and find out where the O-Bike bicycles are and get to a bicycle that you want based on your preferred location. And on each bike, there is a QR code. So just launch our app and scan the QR code on the bike, and then it will unlock itself, and then you can start riding.
How much is the deposit?
The normal rate is 129 for all users and then 79 for students.
Okay.
So people would ask, like, how do you identify who is students and who is not, right? So again, everything can be done in our app. So you can do a student certification in the app itself. Just put in your name, your details, and your uni name or your college name, and upload your student ID through the app itself. And then our system will verify your student status. After that, once you're approved, then the special rate will be reflected in your app. Then after that, you can proceed to payment.
129 ringgit for regular users, do you think that's a bit too steep?
We do have feedback saying that it's a bit too steep. So what we think that, because one thing, it's fully refundable. So it's just an amount that we charge you temporary. And then if you decided that you no longer want to use O-Bike, which I hope you people will continue to use, they can easily request for a refund through the app itself. And the full amount of that deposit will be refunded anyway. So the purpose of the deposit is mainly to ensure users taking care of our bicycles and be responsible when using our bikes. So other than that, we don't touch the deposit at all. So I think when users understand this, then they would be more receptive to it. Yeah.
So the idea of having a stationless bicycle sharing platform is interesting because you don't have a specific docking station, right? Mm. So do you think that will be a problem when it comes to maybe making sure your bicycles are safe, right? Because people can just simply park it anywhere they want, right? So is that something that is a bit risky on O-Bike's end?
It's not risky, but it's something expected because, one, again, it's a very new thing to Malaysia. So they would not be able to know, okay, I can pick up this bike here. Where should I drop it back? But concurrently, we're doing a lot of education through our Facebook, and then even through On Ground, we would guide our users in terms of how they can park their bike. We will advise them to park at public parking spaces and avoid blocking any traffic or walkway. And also in terms of all the bikes being parked around the area, we have On Ground team to do routine checkup and collection of all the bikes, because all bikes are also integrated with GPS. So our On Ground operation team can actually find the bikes and pick them back and then put them back to all the hotspots that we've deployed.
Okay. I understand that there's also a point system to maybe penalize or reward users, right? So maybe you can explain a bit more on that.
So that's also another way that we can monitor the user's behavior in terms of parking and all. But this is something new to Malaysia, so we have not actually implemented that, but it's ready in our system. So how it works is that every signed up users would have a default 100 point. So for every ride that the users complete, in terms of like, if let's say there's no issue, you park the bike without blocking anyone, then we'll give you more points. So vice versa, if let's say you didn't park the bike correctly and then you didn't lock the bike, for instance, then we'll deduct your points. So how does it affect the users in terms of those points? So the more points that you get, you actually entitled for a lower rate to your charges. For instance, now normal rate is 1 ringgit for every 15 minutes. So the more points you get to a certain range, then you'll probably get like 50 cents every 15 minutes. So the other way around, so if you get really, really low points, your charges will go higher, let's say like 10 ringgit for every 15 minutes. And if it has reached a really low point range, we will actually ban the users. This is how we want to maintain the whole system. Yeah.
Okay. Have there been any downside to this model? Have you lost any bicycles, or maybe some people vandalize your bicycles or things like that?
It does happen. I mean, it happened in Singapore as well. Okay. We have bicycle being thrown to the river and things like that. But we are still positive to it because the number is really, really low. It's something still manageable. And it's also new in Malaysia. Along the way, I think we'll put a lot of effort in educating our users in terms of how we want them to, you know, take good care of the bicycles and how this is actually benefiting the users as well in terms of their transportation and moving around. So, yeah.
What about the safety of cyclists? Because it's one thing to give them a bicycle, to get them to be able to cycle from point A to point B, but there's also the element of educating them to be a bit more careful, right? Say, for example, when it comes to cycling, some people would probably encourage users to use a helmet and maybe use a knee guard. Do you advocate for these things?
For now, we don't restrict our users in terms of like, you must wear a helmet to be able to use our bicycles. Well, anyway, in Malaysia now, there is no law or regulation that restricts this. I mean, same goes for Singapore. So for now, we are still not restricting on that. Yeah. So in terms of safety, one thing for sure is that all O-Bike users, as long as you registered with us and you go through the whole usual registration process to become an O-Bike user, they are all covered by insurance.
So what's the main aim of O-Bike's existence? Is it to make it easier for people to travel or commute in the city, or is it to maybe solve the last mile problem?
Okay, the main problem definitely is solving the first mile and last mile problem, that kind of distance that from your doorstep to where you take a bus, take a taxi, take a train, that kind of distance that for now at this moment, other than a bicycle, you don't really have another alternative than walking. So we come in as a new solution to that, because by cycling, it'll definitely cut the whole walking time by half. And other than that, we are also trying to reduce traffic congestion in Malaysia, especially in Kuala Lumpur area, where it's one of the main problems in traffic. Yeah.
But having said that, do you think KL is a city that is designed for bicycles too?
I think it is slowly becoming to a cycling city because we can see that we are working closely with all the local authorities and all. We can see that government is actually putting a lot of effort in building a lot of cycling lanes and planning for cycling itself. Mm. So I think we are slowly going to that.
Yeah, but it's also the problem of cultivating the culture of cycling, right? And Malaysians can be accused of being a bit more particular when it comes to things like this because they tend to argue that, oh, Malaysia has very hot weather, I don't want to cycle because it's not conducive for me to cycle, especially if you're working. If you cycle to work, chances are you'll probably be sweating by the time you reach your workplace, right? So is that something that Obike is trying to also maybe educate the users out there? If it's a problem, how do you plan to maybe solve or counter that?
So in terms of weather, our road conditions and all that, that's a lot of that kind of feedback that we get when we first started. But after 2 months of operating here in Malaysia, I can say that the result really surprises us because a lot of Malaysians pick up really fast and they started cycling already. For instance, in Sunway area, students are cycling within Sunway area a lot, like probably on a daily basis as well. And I think by walking under the hot sun, I mean, during like afternoon here in the usual days, it's so hot and you're probably sweating. But by cycling, you are actually cutting that kind of time by half. And actually, if you actually cycle, you actually feel more of the wind. So you don't actually feel that hot. If you actually do that, you'll be able to tell the difference.
Okay, so you mentioned one of the places where Obike is available. It's at Sunway City, right? Where else is it available here?
We are in some parts of Subang, SS15. And also recently, we just launched our service with Subang KTM. So it is the first KTM station with our bicycles. And also some areas in Damansara and PJ.
What are the challenges of maybe operating in a place like Sunway compared to maybe PJ? Because I would like to think that maybe in a smaller township, right, Sunway City, where everything is a bit more integrated, it'll be easier to operate in that kind of place, right? Compared to maybe Petaling Jaya, which is not as integrated compared to Sunway City. So what are the challenges of implementing your service in these places?
I think they are very similar in the sense that, well, people do travel around in, like, for instance, PJ area. There's a lot of offices. There are also universities. So people are still traveling around in that area. I think what we need to do as Obike should be providing more of the bicycles and having more designated parking spots. So by having more bicycles available in the area, it would help the people in that area to commute around. Mm. Yeah.
How many bicycles do you have per location?
Per location, I think I don't have the exact number now, but the whole Klang Valley itself, we have 1,000+.
I also understand that Obike is also available in Kota Kinabalu, right? So why Kota Kinabalu?
Kota Kinabalu is a very new place that we started. One of the reasons is that because Kota Kinabalu is one of the tourist spots, very high travellers around the area, and also the density of this whole city. And also because of that, the traffic has been also very congested. So hence, we wanted to provide our service in the area for all the locals to use that service for their short distance travel.
Mm, okay, so who are your target users?
Overall, mainly because this is what we want to do is that this is a transportation alternative. By right, it should be targeting everyone who's commuting on a daily basis. But based on the responses that we get, 30 to 40% are students. Other than that, the rest are like a mix of local residents, working adults, people who come out from office, just want to get a lunch from somewhere nearby. Yeah.
Do you think students are good target users?
Yeah, it is a good target because not all of them have cars. And probably they have a budget as well. So I think with our charges paid by use kind of method, it works for them. And it takes them to where they want to go. So I think they would actually really enjoy this service.
Okay. What's the reception like for Obike since it's launched in Malaysia?
We've launched in mid-April, so it's about 2 months now. We've already got 20,000 of users.
And these are regular users?
These are regular users.
Okay, so that's quite a number, right? So it shows that maybe there is a shift in mindset when it comes to cycling in Malaysia, right? Mm. So what's your next plan to expand?
We are looking at all the major cities in Kuala Lumpur, but for now, we will definitely want to focus on making availability of our bicycles around Klang Valley to be good enough for convenience. When I say that, it's mainly based on more Obike locations. Because if both points of Obike stations too far away, then it would actually defeat the purpose of being convenient. So what we're trying to do now, we are working with a lot of partners, local authorities, in terms of setting up more designated parking spots for O-Bike. So yeah, so that we're trying to cover as much areas as possible to make it work in terms of convenience.
Are the authorities very cooperative to your service?
Yeah, they are. Because what we are providing, we are actually completing the whole commuting journey. And of course, at the same time, they are also working in building more cycling lanes. So we actually came in a very good time in terms of working together on that.
What about future expansion to your services? Any other additional features that you would like to offer to the users?
Of course, we will add more payment methods. Currently, the two methods that we are accepting in our app is credit card and debit card. To make it more convenient in terms of paying, we will definitely add more on that. We are currently working on that and we will release really soon. And also in terms of features like how we can make parking easier for users, we will start to have parking indicators in our app. Currently, we don't have it, but we will start adding that to our app. It will help users in identifying, okay, where can I drop my bike? Where can I pick up a bike? Things like that.
Okay. I forgot to ask you this earlier, but what's the maintenance like?
Because the build of our bicycles, the whole build is very low maintenance and durable at the same time. So the biggest maintenance that we need to do probably is like, oh, the handle is loose, the seat needs adjusting, the screw on the seats is not working, things like that. So it's something really easy to fix, where use all our on-ground team can actually be there and fix on the spot. So even if it's something, for instance, if there's a damage to the bike and it's to a point where it's no longer cyclable, so it's no issue. Our on-ground team will actually pick up that bike, send it back to our warehouse and then quickly replace another one. Tires is tubeless, so it doesn't puncture. So even there's a nail that pokes in and then you can still cycle. So another thing is that even if user notice of a faulty, something that needs to be repaired on the bike, they don't have to worry as well. They can just stop the bike and get another one. And they can also easily report a faulty bike through the app. And then our system, we can see it from the system, and then our on-ground team will go and look into that.
Okay, all right. So hopes for the future. I mean, it's still new. It's still fairly in its infancy here in Malaysia. So what are your hopes for the future?
I hope that Malaysians would like to cycle on a daily basis. Yeah, that would definitely be the hopes from our side. And we really hope that this would actually benefit all the commuters and people who travel. Let's say, if for instance, with or without car, they would actually take this as a different alternative to their transportation.
That was Elaine Chan, the marketing manager of O-Bike Malaysia, an initiative to assimilate and elevate the cycling culture in our capital. If you would like to find out more about the service, you can visit its website www.o.bike. Also, be on the lookout for O-Bikes around the townships of Sunway City, Subang Jaya, Petaling Jaya and Damansara. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. If you'd like to revisit the interview, head over to bfm.my/ilovekl or download our latest app via Google Play and the App Store. Also, we would love to hear from you. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You have been tuning in to I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. My name is Hanif Baharudin. Selamat Hari Raya Aidilfitri. Maaf Zahir dan Batin. Have a safe and joyous Raya. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!